And now we're focusing our attention back on Jacob and his sons. And so Jacob and his sons are also overcome by this famine in his household. His household would have been extremely large with his wives and their sons and children and so and all their servants. And so they were overcome with this famine, but they heard that there was food available in Egypt, okay? And so they realized in verse 42, the Bible says, and now Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt. Jacob said to his sons, why do ye look upon one upon another? Now, that's an interesting expression there that we see in verse number 1 of chapter 42. Why do ye look one upon another? And it's really an interesting thing. It really would make a wonderful sermon. It's one thing to be given truth. It's another thing to act upon that truth. And that phrase there is just a wonderful thought, because really what Jacob is saying to his sons is they all knew that Egypt had food available. And so what he's saying is, why are we looking at each other? We need to go to Egypt and get food, right? I mean, what would it help knowing that there's food available in Egypt and dying in Canaan? And so he says in this passage of Scripture, listen, we're going to have to do something about this. And by the way, this is a wonderful principle in the Bible, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. If we know truth, we should act upon that truth. And so the Bible says in James 4:17, you can write that down, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Can you imagine someone knowing the way to heaven, but not responding to that message? And so he says in this passage of Scripture, in verse number 42, verse 1, why do ye look one upon another? And the reality is that they probably didn't want to go to Egypt. I mean, for them to go to Egypt would be a very long journey. It would be 482 kilometers, 300 miles for them to leave Canaan and go to Egypt to get food. That would be like leaving here tonight from Kitchener and walking almost to Cornwall. I mean, a long journey. And it was a dangerous journey. And they didn't even know that when they got to Egypt, if they would even be allowed to have food. They didn't know how they would be accepted. They didn't know how Egypt would respond or receive them. Remember, they did not know that Joseph was in charge. As far as they understood, Joseph was dead. And I think maybe, and I throw this out there just to ponder, maybe they even had some bad memories of selling their innocent brother to Egypt. They didn't want to go to Egypt. And so the Bible says in verse 2 in Genesis 42, look what the Scripture says. And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Go you down hither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. So Jacob had made the decision that they would go down to Egypt and purchase corn so that they could live. Now, it really gives us an idea here of how bad things were in Jacob's home. This was life and death. They had to go to Egypt or they were going to die. So the Bible says in verse 3, the 10 brothers would go down to Egypt to buy corn. And then verse 4, we really get to dig into how Jacob is thinking about this. The Bible says in verse 4, but Benjamin, Joseph's brother, that would be the next born of Rachel. The Bible says, Jacob sat not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And so after Joseph had died or was sold into slavery, Benjamin would be the next youngest brother of Rachel. And so there's no doubt about it that I would assume that Jacob would favor Benjamin, right? But not only that, I think also there's guilt there, because the last time he sent Rachel's son to a far journey, he did not come home, right? And so he's thinking in his mind, listen, there's no way Benjamin is leaving this house. You're staying here. And so he sent the 10 brothers away to go get food in Egypt. By the way, this has a lot of significance to the story later down the road here. So we see letter A here as we jump into the context here of this story. We see, first of all, Joseph's brothers in Egypt. So verses 5 to 11, we see this story unfold. In verse 5, the Bible says, "And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan, and Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren and knew them, but made himself strange unto them and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him." So in verse 5, Joseph's brothers, as it says here, they come to Egypt. And I'm sure that Joseph didn't participate in all the distributing of food to those who came from foreign lands looking for food at this particular time. We know that the food was stored, from what the Bible says, it was stored in various cities. And then also we know that there were officers that were appointed for the distribution of this food. But in the providence of God, Joseph was present when his brothers arrived from Canaan. And so when we get to verse number 6, we see right away a part of the fulfillment of that dream that Joseph had, right? What happens? His brothers come and they bow down before Joseph. Right, it's like achievement unlocked, right? I mean, here we go. This is exactly what God said would happen. And so the brothers bow down before Joseph, and I'm positive that in that moment he's remembering that dream, the dream that God said that his brothers would bow before him. You know, it's really incredible to think how God works and how God works behind the scenes. One commentary said this, "In the accomplishing of his divine purposes," that's God's divine purposes, "God can use a famine, a kidnapping, a royal beauty contest, a sudden death, a dream, a plague, and even a government census to fulfill his purposes." The Bible says in Psalm 115, verse 3, "But our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." In verse number 6 of our text, the Bible says that Joseph knew his brothers, but they didn't know him. In fact, in verse 7, the Bible says, "And Joseph saw his brethren, and they knew them, but made himself strange unto them." And so it was 17 years, right? More than 17 years when they sold him into slavery. And he was an Egyptian now. I mean, he dressed like an Egyptian. He was clean shaved like an Egyptian. He talked like an Egyptian. And the Bible says further down in our text, he spoke through an interpreter. And so they didn't recognize him. And the Bible also says that he made himself strange in verse 7. And so he didn't want them to recognize him. In verse number 8, the Bible says, "And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, Ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land ye are come." 4 times in our text, Joseph charges his brothers under a false pretense. This is why you are really here, is what Joseph is saying. In verse number 9, he says, "You're a spy. You see, you're here to see the condition of our land. You're here to see how beat up our land is so that you could wage war against us and win. And that's why you're here. And Verse number 10, the Bible says, and they said unto him, so here these 10 brothers are standing before Joseph, and Joseph says, you're a spy. And verse 10, they say unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. And so they say, no, we're not spies. We're just here to buy food. In verse 11, they say, we are the sons of one man, and we are, look at this, and we are true. We are honest people. You can trust us. This is Joseph. The Bible says, thy servants are no spies. You can trust us. We're honest men. Now, were they honest men? They were probably stealing from their father. We learned this early in chapter 37. They lied about Joseph's death. They sold their own brother as a slave. They were not true men. But here's the question. Did they change? Did their hearts change? And this is what Joseph is trying to figure out as we continue to go through the scripture. Letter B here, notice this, Joseph's response to his brothers. Joseph's response to his brothers, verse 12, and he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. He says, no, you're not who you say you are. You're only here because you're a spy. And so we have this, you know, brotherly arguing that's taking place here. Joseph said, no, you're a spy. You say you're true men. You say you're honest men, but I don't believe it. You're spies, and you're here to see the condition of our land. And so then they open up a little bit, and they begin to explain some details about their family to help convince this man, which is Joseph, this man that they are honest people. And so they say in verse 13, the Bible says here, and they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father. Now look at this. And one is not. Wow. They said, we are a family of 12 brothers. The youngest brother is at home with our father in Canaan. And one is not. One is not here. What does it mean? In Genesis 37, verse 30, when we go back and we remember the story of Reuben when he thought his brother was dead or that they had killed his brother, the Bible says, and he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I whither shall I go? When we jump ahead to Genesis 42, and when they are telling Jacob that they're going to have to bring Benjamin back to Egypt, Jacob says this, in verse 36 of chapter 42, and Jacob their father said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children, Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. Here's what I think this is saying. I think they're saying, listen, our youngest is at home with our father, and one has died. One has died. And so Joseph says in verses 14 and 15 that he's really going to give them a test here to prove, to make sure that they're not spies. But really what Joseph's doing is proving their heart to see how far they've come in 20 years. And so look what the Bible says in verse 14, and Joseph said unto them, that is it that I spake unto you, saying to your spies, hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. All right, so Joseph said, this is what's going to happen. You're going to bring your youngest brother, you're going to bring him here. Prove your story is true. Bring me your youngest brother. He says in verse 16, send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. One of you will go get your brother. The others will stay in my prison. and we'll see if your story checks out. And if your story checks out, then we can discuss this even further. And so the Bible says in verse 17, and he put them all together in ward 3 days. So 3 days they are in prison. Someone asked the question, revenge? I don't think so. I think Joseph was genuinely concerned for his family, and I think he was genuinely concerned about his brothers. Look what the Bible says in verse 18. This is interesting. I really think this is powerful in verse 18. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live. So he's going to lay it all out now. Follow my instructions, and you're going to have food for your family, and you're going to get to live. And look what he says here. This is interesting. For I fear God. Now remember, he's an Egyptian, and again, polytheistic society. And here he says in verse 18, I fear God, Elohim, the living God, the true God. Now this had to get their attention. He says in verse 19, for if ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. Joseph is saying, listen, if you follow my instructions, then you will survive the famine because I fear God. I think this is a significant statement here. I really do. He's saying, because I fear the true God, I fear the same God that you fear, the same God that you have reverence toward, Elohim, the living God, the true God. And this, I believe, is they're building a bond here. They don't know their brothers. And so the Bible says that they followed the instruction of Joseph. Verse 20. They did what Joseph told them to do. Let's get to letter C here in our notes. Joseph tests his brothers. Joseph tests his brothers. So his brothers are looking back at how they treated Joseph now. They're discussing. Joseph said, I fear the true living God. And now his brothers are thinking, right? They spend 3 days in prison. They're thinking about their past. They're thinking about the decisions of their life. And they believe at this point that where they are is because of how they treated Joseph. And we see this in the next verses. We see, first of all, number one, his brother's confession in verse 21. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore, is this distress come upon us? We are guilty because of what we did to Joseph. We saw his anguish, we heard his cries, but we did nothing. We did nothing. And so they believe the circumstances that they were in, the trouble that they were in, obviously they looked at this situation, how Joseph was treating them, and we'll look more at that in just a moment, but they didn't think they were in a good place. We see number two, his brother's circumstance in verse 22. And Reuben said unto them, saying, spake I not unto you? Now remember, they're having this conversation here. Joseph is right there. He's using an interpreter. So they don't think Joseph understands anything they're saying. And Reuben said unto them, saying, I spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child. Reuben is saying, didn't I tell you not to touch Joseph? Didn't I tell you not to hurt him? And you would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. Reuben said, I told you not to hurt Joseph. but you wouldn't listen to what I had to say. And now we are in this mess, in this circumstance, in this hole, because we are guilty of shedding our own brother's blood. And Joseph is listening to everything they're saying. Wow. Judgment is coming, is what Reuben is saying. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you believe their hearts are changed? Do you believe they have a tender heart now toward the events that took place concerning Joseph? I think they do. I think they're different people than they were 20 years ago. And so the Bible says in verse 23 that Joseph could understand these words. Verse number 3, we see Joseph crying in verse 24, and he turned himself about from them and he wept. So you can imagine they're having this conversation and Joseph just walked away and he's weeping. Everything that's being said, first of all, he's hearing for the first time that Reuben tried to rescue him, that Reuben was on his side. He's hearing for the first time that Reuben told the other brothers not to hurt Joseph. He's also seeing their tender heart. He's also seeing Reuben's compassion and this distress that they have over the circumstance of their life. And his heart has moved over the whole situation. Maybe he's starting to believe at this point in verse 24 that 20 years of their life, their hearts are different, they're changed, that they're different people. And so he leaves and gets composure. And he returns, and the Bible says he takes Simeon as the prisoner. Now, he probably should have took Reuben. Reuben's the oldest, but maybe because of the news he just heard that Reuben had compassion and tried to help Joseph, maybe he decides to take Simeon, or maybe he decides that they'll need Reuben because Reuben was level-headed to go back and talk to their father. Simeon was Jacob's second oldest son. And so we see number 4, Joseph's compassion, verse 25. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. And so the Bible says that he gave them corn, but look at this. This truly is compassion here. But he gave all of their money back. The money that they gave to buy food, he restored all of it. But not only that, he filled up their supplies for the journey home. I mean, he has compassion on them. And he's on their side. And he wants to help them. And that's why I don't believe there's any thought of revenge at all in Joseph's heart. I mean, he's trying to bless them and help them in this. Number 5, we see the brothers' compliance in verse 26. The Bible says, and they laded their asses with corn and departed thence. And so now they're traveling all the way back, that 400 plus kilometers, 300 miles, all the way back to Canaan. But wait a minute, they have to convince Jacob to let Benjamin go back to Egypt with them. Now remember, Jacob already said, Benjamin, you're staying with me. And so we see letter D, Joseph's brothers return to Canaan in verse 27. The Bible says in verse 27, and as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his mother for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. So the thought here is that they arrive at the place where they're going to stay, the inn. It's a long journey, and the provender is the one that would take care of their donkey, the one that would take care of the animals. And so they open the sack, and all the money, or the money there, one finds money, and then they all find the money that they gave to buy food. It's all there. It's all been returned. And this is concerning to them, because remember, they were just accused of being spies. And now all the money they gave to buy food, they still have. That's a problem. That's a problem. They're trying to convince that they're honest men, and it looks like they stole, they took their money back, right? This is an issue. And so verse 28, and he said unto his brother, and my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack, and their heart failed them. They're concerned about this. This is troubling. And they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us? The silver, it's restored. It's all in the sack. And what's their first thought? Judgment. God did this to us. We're being judged for how we treated our brother Joseph. So they're convicted. I mean, to me, it really does sound like that they are different as we read this scripture. They're afraid. They're afraid because of the circumstances. And they knew they were innocent, but how would they get the Egyptians to believe them, right? It didn't look good. And so they return to their father in verse 29, in verse 29 they tell the whole story. They rehearse to their father everything that happened in Egypt. The Bible says in verse 29, and they came unto Jacob, their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told them all that befell them, saying, the man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, we are true men and are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the country, said unto us, hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you, your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack, and they were both, when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. Now, verse 35 sounds like that this is the first time they're emptying their sacks and finding the money with their father, but it's not, all right? And the wording there may be confusing, but it's clear here that they are opening their sacks and showing their father, telling him everything, Jacob, everything that happened, and then they're revealing all of the silver that was restored to them. And so the Bible says that Jacob and the brothers are now afraid at the circumstance that they're in. Let's circle back here for just a second and talk about that thought there roughly. When the Bible says that Jacob talked to his brothers roughly, the word there means harsh. All right, the thought there is that it caused great hardship. This wasn't characteristic of Joseph at all. All right, but he was mean-spirited. He was harsh when he talked to his brothers. And I think that's why, many reasons, but that's probably one of the main reasons why they didn't even think that it was Joseph. And so they're afraid that they're going to be accused of this crime. They're already thought to be spies. How in the world would they ever get food? Remember, Joseph only gave them enough food for a season. They needed more food to survive. The famine was going to be 7 years. And so the instruction is simple. They said to Jacob, all we have to do is we have to bring back Benjamin. And when we bring back Benjamin, we're going to be able to traffic in the land. We're going to be able to buy and sell in the land. We're going to have an abundance of food. But Benjamin is going to have to come with us. And we notice how he responds to this. In verse 37, the Bible says, and Reuben spake unto his father in verse 37. Now, Jacob says, listen, Benjamin's not going with you. He says, I've suffered enough. Simeon is probably dead. Joseph's already dead. And now you want, in verse 36, now you want me to let Benjamin go to die? He's scarred. And look what the Bible says in verse 37. Reuben said unto his father, saying, slay my two sons. He's making a promise here to Jacob. He's saying, listen, if I don't bring Benjamin back, then you can kill my own sons. Now that sounds harsh, but what he's saying is that he's going to protect Benjamin. He's not saying go out and kill. If I don't come back with Benjamin, you go kill your grandkids. No, what he's saying is, I'm making you a promise, Dad, that if I bring Benjamin to Egypt, I will come back with Benjamin. I promise. And so he says, you can kill my two sons if I don't bring Benjamin back. I mean, it's a heavy promise here. It's a heavy commitment that Reuben is making. And so then we come to verse 38. And he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in the which he go. Remember, he's not even concerned about Egypt. He's concerned about Benjamin dying on the journey. Then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. He says, I'm already mourning one child. I am not going to mourn two. And I don't know if you understand here the significance of this, but as I look at this passage of Scripture, and again, I'm not trying to read into the text, but it sounds very much like Jacob feels guilty of letting Joseph go the first time. And he's saying in this passage of Scripture, if something happens to Benjamin, I will die a man of grief. I will never get over it. He's saying, listen, one son is dead, but if two die because of me, because I allow him to go, it will kill me. It cannot happen. And so Joseph, obviously we understand the full story. Joseph is testing his brothers to see if their heart is changed. But Jacob is so hardened to what those boys did to him. Incredible. We talk about the forgiveness of Joseph. Talk about the forgiveness of Jacob and all that he went through thinking his son is dead. Right? Just an incredible story. But as we end chapter 42, Jacob is saying, I will not make that mistake again. Benjamin stays here. And that's where we come into chapter 43, and we will put a ribbon on the life of Joseph next.